Thank you again for coming out this morning. Glad that you're here. Again, I noticed the board, we are really down today as far as our number goes, but I knew we would be at least somewhat short because we have so many folks that I know are at other places this morning, and our sick list is just so long. Let us just continue to remember these folks that are sick. Look in your bulletin and see their names and keep them in mind and in your prayers. One name that I didn't mention myself that I meant to was Miss Jean Smith. I saw her on this past Thursday, I think it was, and she is really in a lot of pain. Her back is really giving her a lot of trouble right now, and she's seeing the doctor tomorrow. Hopefully they'll be able to help her, and there's so many others that need our prayers. Just keep them in mind. I'm sure that you are familiar with the story of the children of Israel, and you know that from the time that they left Egypt, they had trouble. They had problems. You recall that they hadn't gone very, very far at all before Pharaoh sent his army after them, and they had the Red Sea in front of them. The people immediately complained, "Well, we just came out here to die," but God parted the Red Sea, and they went across on dry ground. When they got to Mount Sinai, Moses went up on the mountain to receive the law, and the people convinced Aaron, Moses' brother, to make a golden calf for them to worship. When they finally reached the land of Canaan the first time, they sent in the 12 spies to spy out the land, and 10 of them came back and said, "Man, we can't take this place. The people in there are like giants." Only Joshua and Caleb believed that they could take the land of Canaan. The people murmured, "We've come out here just to die. We should have stayed in Egypt," because of their unfaithfulness. God caused them to turn around, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and all of that generation, those who had grown to mature adults, they all died in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. During the period of the judges, there were at least 7 falling aways that we know about. The people would worship one of the false gods of the Canaanite people. God would allow one of the nations that surrounded them, He would allow them to oppress the children of Israel. They would cry out for a deliverer. God would raise up a judge who would throw off their oppressor. And they go right back and do it again. During the time of the kings, they just left God. And God allowed the Assyrians and then the Babylonians to overrun them. This morning, I want to look in the book of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet that God sent to the northern kingdom. Hosea's job was to try to turn the children of Israel back to God. And as we look at the mistakes that Hosea says the children of Israel made, maybe by looking at their mistakes, we can avoid making the same ones ourselves. We'll begin in Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. "My people," Hosea says, "are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and I also will forget your children." Hosea says that a lack of knowledge had caused his people to fall, but it was more than a lack of knowledge. He says they had rejected knowledge. They were not interested in it. The law of Moses was there. It was in place. They could have studied it. They could have been obedient to it. But Hosea says they'd forgotten the law. They weren't interested in the law of Moses. Today, we have the Bible. How well do we know the Bible? Bibles are readily available for us. There are Bibles all over the place. We can read the Bible on our phone. We can read the Bible on our iPad. We can listen to the Bible being read aloud to us on CDs. But how much do we really know about the Bible, or have we rejected God's Word and forgotten the Bible just like the Israelites did? Now, some of us read the papers every day. I do. It's part of my daily routine. We read our favorite magazines. We look at Facebook. We look at Twitter. We look at YouTube. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But while we're doing all of those things, are we neglecting to study God's Word? How much do we really know about the Bible and God's Word? A challenge for you. If somebody came to you tomorrow and they said, "Here's a Bible, got a Bible for you. I want you to show me what I need to do to become a Christian." Could we do it? Could we do it? And we might say, "Well, T.A., I know how to become a Christian." I'm sure you do. What I'm asking you is, could you show them in God's Word how to become a Christian? In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter writes there, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." How are we going to be ready to give an answer if we don't know the Bible ourselves? We need to be studying God's Word. Notice the last part of verse 6 there, Hosea 4 and verse 6. "I also will forget your children." What about the children? Have we taught God's Word to our children? Or could it be that by the time our children have grown to adulthood and they are in charge of this congregation, they're running the congregation by that time, is it possible that the Bethel Church of Christ will fall into apostasy and get away from the New Testament pattern because we didn't teach them God's Word now? Is it possible that that could happen? Let me show you what happened to the children of Israel. In Judges chapter 2, put a mark or put your thumb or your finger in Hosea and turn to Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. Judges 2 and 7. "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." Now, the next two verses tell us about the death of Joshua. And then in verse 10, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they served the Baals," that's the false gods of the Canaanite people. "They served the Baals. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and the Ashtaroths." One generation is all it takes. Let us make sure that we are studying God's Word ourselves and teaching our children. Now look with me at Hosea 6 and verse 4. Hosea 6 and verse 4. O Ephraim, he says, Ephraim was one of the tribes in the northern kingdom. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, Judah was the southern kingdom. What shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Their faithfulness was just like the dew in the morning. We get up and the grass is wet, but the sun comes out and the dew dries up. They couldn't stay faithful if their life depended on it. From the golden calf till the time of the kings, they could not stay faithful. Really, we should say they would not stay faithful. And sometimes, even in our day, we are just like them. Maybe it's because we're not serious enough about our Christian life. It is a serious matter, and we have to take our Christianity seriously. Maybe the church is just not as important to us as it should be. And because we're not taking our Christianity seriously, the church is not important to us, we're not putting forth enough effort. We're not trying hard enough to live a Christian life. My friends, if we want to be a Christian and go to heaven, and I'm assuming that everybody in this room wants to make that happen, we've got to put forth some effort. We've got to try to make that happen. We will not stumble accidentally into heaven. It won't happen. We've got to put forth some effort. Remember what it was like when you first became a Christian? You're excited. You've got a lot of enthusiasm. You're on fire, and the church is important to us. But sometimes folks stay like that. And sometimes they don't. When I was a kid, we heated our house we had a fireplace in the living room. And we had a furnace down in the basement. And we burned coal in both of them. Coal was plentiful around here in those days, and it was fairly cheap. And so we burned coal in our fireplace and our furnace. And then, even after Sandy and I got married, we had a wood stove for a long time. And I tell you that to let you know that I've had a lot of experience taking out the ashes. I've done it probably thousands of times. Now, when you take the ashes out, whether it was that old bucket that we used with the furnace, and you know what? I even remember what that thing looked like. I even remember the bucket. Or the ash pan that was in the wood stove. The circumstances were basically the same. Always going to be some hot coals in there, and you got to have a pair of gloves to take the ashes out, or you'll burn your hands because of those hot coals. But you can take the ashes out on a cold winter day, and you dump them outside. An hour or so later, you can go back and you can reach down and pick those coals up with your bare hands. They've got cold. In Matthew 24 and in verse 12, Jesus tells us, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We lose that fire. We lose that enthusiasm, and we get cold. And when that happens, we're going to fall away. We got to keep the fire burning. We got to shovel a little more coal in the furnace. We got to put some more wood in the stove and keep the fire burning. Well, how do we do that? Number one, we got to keep the lines of communication open between us and God. How do we do that? Well, God talks to us in His Word. This is how God speaks to us, and so we have to study His Word. That's how He talks to us. We talk back in prayer. And I believe that a Christian needs to pray every single day. We need God's mercy and forgiveness. We need to offer Him thanks for our blessings. We want to pray for all the sick folks. We want to pray for the lost folks. We want to pray for our country and our leaders. All of those things, and on and on and on it goes. We need to pray every day. And so we communicate with God by studying His Word and by praying regularly. That's how we keep those lines of communication open. And number two, we need to assemble with our brothers and our sisters every time that we can. If we want to stay faithful, and I'm assuming that we do, then we need to be with our brothers and sisters. We need to rub shoulders with them, shake their hands, hug their necks, study and pray and worship together if we want to stay faithful. Now, we could use Hebrews 10 and 25 and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but I'm really not talking about breaking God's command now for assembling with the saints. I'm talking about what we need to do if we want to stay faithful. And that very much includes assembling with the saints. And we say, it don't matter to me. I'm strong. I'll stay faithful. I don't have to be there at church all the time. Well, we're lying to ourselves. We're kidding ourselves. If we say that we will stay faithful, we won't. We won't. In fact, I'm going to make this statement, and I believe it's true. One of the surest signs that we are not as faithful as we need to be is if we start skipping the services of the church. Now, I'm not talking about just missing. Everybody misses sometimes for legitimate reasons. I'm talking about skipping. Hey, I think I'm going fishing today. I'm not going to church. There's a big sale at the mall today. I'm not going to go to church. I'm going down to the mall. Skipping services is a sign that the temperature is going down. The fire is going out. That's one of the surest signs. If we want to remain faithful, we need to assemble regularly with our brothers and sisters. If we don't, the fire will go out and we will fall. For all intents and purposes, if we're not faithful, we have fallen already. Now look with me at Hosea 7. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. Ephraim, Hosea says, has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him, and yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. But they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Israel was mixing with the world. Remember that when they came into the land of Canaan, they had to take it by military force. And God's command to them was to drive those people out. He told them, do not dwell with them and do not intermarry with them. And it was not a matter of race. It wasn't that. It wasn't a matter of, hey, they don't look like us. That wasn't it. Those people were idolaters. They worshiped false gods. And God knew that if they dwelt with them, if they intermarried with them, that they would accept their ways of life, they would accept their customs, and they would begin to worship their false gods. Guess what happened? They didn't finish the job. They did not drive those people out. They did dwell with them. And they began to worship the false gods of the Canaanites. To us in our day, John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15, John writes there, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Look at Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. This is the Apostle Paul writing here. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me give you one more. James 4 and verse 4. James 4 and verse 4. Three biblical writers telling us the same thing in different words. James says, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, folks, we are in the world. We don't have a choice there. We're living our life in the world, but we must not be of the world. And there's a distinct difference between being in the world and being of the world. We have to live our life and we have to work every day and be around people who are not Christians. And we need to try to be a friend to everybody. We need to be friendly with everybody and get along with everybody, but there's just got to be a line that we can't cross. And when our friends are going places that we know a Christian shouldn't be, they're doing things that we know a Christian should not do, we've just got to say, hey, I can't cross that line. We've got to know where it's at. Be friendly with everybody. Absolutely. Get along with everybody. But don't cross that line. It could be that some of you are struggling right now with something like this. Something is pulling you away from the church and back into the world. The devil is working on you and you're struggling with it right now. If that is the case, then you should really be encouraged. And I'll tell you why. The devil is trying to win you back and you won't let him. You've got some character. You won't give in. You're offering resistance. That's a good sign. James tells us in James 4 and verse 7 to resist the devil and he will flee from you. You're doing that. That's a good thing. You're offering resistance. Israel quit fighting. And they just joined the crowd. And when they did, they fell away. You know, even with all of the mistakes that Israel made and all of the times they had turned away from God and disappointed God, He still wanted them back. He still sent the prophets to them and pleaded with them to turn back to God. Let me show you what Hosea did. The last chapter of Hosea. Hosea 14 and verse 1, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away our iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. Verse 4, if they would do that, I will heal their backsliding, God said. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. They could have all of those blessings if they would turn back to God. They didn't. And in the case of the northern kingdom, the Assyrians came and wiped them off the face of the earth. This morning, perhaps like Israel, you have turned away from God. Your faith was like the morning dew and it disappeared. You've not studied God's Word and kept those lines of communication open, and it's caused you to be unfaithful. The fire has gone out and you have fallen away. If that is the case, God still wants you back. He wants you to come back. But your obedience is required. You must be willing to repent of those things that caused you to stray. Make the decision to do better. And if you'll do that, you can ask for the prayers of the faithful and you can be restored this very morning. Perhaps you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never become a Christian. If you're willing to render obedience to God's plan of salvation, you can become a Christian this very day. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and to be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. If you are subject this morning to the Lord's invitation, would you please let that be known while we stand and sing?